Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Spirit Side, Journey Towards the Light. I'm your host, Paul James Caden, and this week we are going to be talking about the mysterious missing 411 cases and shapeshifters among us. This is a subject I've been kind of pondering and researching for a few weeks now, and I think I have some interesting things to say about all of this. But before we jump into this week's conversation, I just want to make a couple quick announcements. I've been kind of reformatting the show a little bit, mostly for the YouTube presentation of the podcast. Things, you know, seem a little bit scattered there, and I want to bring it more into a cohesive podcast / YouTube channel. So I wanted to kind of get back to when I did the Spirit Side years ago when I first started podcasting, and I talked about spiritual things, spirituality, current events with a spiritual perspective, and also, you know, mysticism and the paranormal. And so I want to talk about those things. And I really think last week talking about the many false Christs rising really kind of nudged me to talk a bit more about current events from that through that spiritual lens, because there's just an awful lot happening in the world. And as much as sometimes you don't want to get involved, you don't want to talk about all those things, sometimes there's just things that you have to comment on. You know, I kind of feel just the Spirit saying, hey, you got to share what's on your heart. You got to share what you know. And if a few people listen, great. If nobody listens, that's great too. But, you know, you gotta comment on these things. You gotta speak about these things. And again, I think it's really important because there's just so much negativity in the world right now. But I also want to talk about those other things, mysticism, metaphysics, the paranormal, and all the different aspects, whether it be angel encounters, paranormal investigations, hauntings, and under the umbrella of those paranormal conversations, I want to share my ITC spirit communication sessions on my YouTube channel. So they will not be here on the audio platforms. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of the other strictly audio formats. So I'm going to be putting my YouTube channel link in all of my podcast descriptions from here on out. So maybe you'll want to head over there and see some of the ITC research that I've done. And if you don't know what that is, basically, ITC research is using an electronic device to communicate with spirit and get responses. And I already have some really interesting sessions over there with direct answers to questions, spirits commenting on things in the environment that I'm not even, you know, talking about. So a lot of interesting research. And I do that, those kinds of things in research, because I'm interested in it, and also to gather what proof I can that there is life after death, that there is a spirit world. There's more than just meets the naked eye. We're so much caught up in materialism today. The whole thrust of my show, no matter what it is, or what I'm talking about or what I'm sharing, is just that, to say, hey, there's more than just this material world, and maybe we should change our perspective, change our hearts, change our thinking, change how we act, change how we treat one another, because it all matters in the end, whether we think it does or not. And just because the whole world is one running in one direction, religious-wise, politically, or just acting out in very selfish or arrogant ways, doesn't mean we should follow the crowd. Because as I've always said for many years in my private circles in life, when everybody else is running in one direction and doing the same thing, generally it's not the right direction. So don't follow the herd. Try to help some of them, you know, to not go headlong over the edge of the cliff, as I always say. So again, YouTube channel link will always be in my podcast descriptions below. And, you know, if you feel you're interested, head over there. I post the podcast that you hear here on the audio platforms, but also my ITC Paranormal Research Spirit Communication sessions are posted over there, and they're very interesting. So with all that being said, let's get into today's topic, the mysterious 411 missing person cases and shapeshifters among us. You know, I did a podcast some months ago where I spoke about the similarities and connections between the missing 411 cases, alien abductions, and the jinn, who are mentioned in Islam. And the jinn are a being that is said to be made out of smokeless fire. And some of them are good, some of them are bad. But the jinn are said to be shapeshifters. They can change the way they look. And the jinn, just like the alien abduction scenario, are said to have taken people and still take people. And sometimes they return them and sometimes they don't. Wherever the jinn take them, they're never seen or heard from again. It's also interesting to note that when you look back in olden times where people believed in the woodland creatures, you know, elves and fairies and gnomes and, you know, all the different creatures that were said to inhabit the woods and nature, and many of these beings, you know, the elves, the fairies, the gnomes, the banshees, you know, there are all these different beings that were said to have taken people. You know, so-and-so was walking in the woods and they were never seen again. They just disappeared. You know, the fairy took him, the fairy folk, the little people or the gnomes or whomever. You know, so there's always this, across the board, there's always been this belief that there's something or someone out there that is taking people. Just, they disappear off the face of the earth. They're there 1 minute, gone the next, and nobody knows what happened. Now, my question is, as I research all of this, are all of these beings separate entities? Do we have a world that's filled with all of these different beings, whether it's the Sasquatch, whether it's the fairy folk, whether it's the little people, whether it's aliens or the jinn or whatever the case may be? Are there all these different species of beings or creatures that are taking people, or are they the same being, but perhaps cause themselves to look different to each individual depending on what era they lived in, what their beliefs are, or even what's familiar to a person? And I say, you know, what's familiar to a person, because there are these cases in the 411 disappearances. And a couple come to mind just off the top of my head, where there was one where there was a man, a younger man, I guess he was maybe in his 30s or so. And he was working with a logging company. They were in the forest. They were cutting trees, you know, cutting the wood. And they had, you know, the stacks of lumber, you know, that they were stacking in the woods as they cut down the trees. And this man was, you know, on top of one of the piles of lumber. And his coworker said that he was looking off into the woods. He was just staring into the woods. And then all of a sudden, without warning, he just climbed down, jumped down off the lumber pile, ran into the woods like he was running towards something. And he was just gone. Never seen again by friends, family, or coworkers. There's another case that comes to mind where there was a family that was camping. And they were taking a short hike on a trail by where they were camping. And there was a mother, father, I believe there was a grandmother, and a brother and two sisters. And they were walking along, and the one sister, who I think was not very old, she was only in her teens, you know, or preteens. And she was stopping and looking into the woods on the side of the path very intently. She kept stopping and looking and just stopping and looking like she was, you know, mesmerized by something. And then the family was, you know, walked on a little bit. They turned and she was just gone from the path. They didn't see her enter the woods. They didn't see what happened to her. She was just disappeared into thin air. Again, never to be seen by anyone. So my question is, and there are these cases where people are looking intently into the woods, or they seem like they see something and they go running, you know, into the forest and then just disappear. So my question is, why, what are people seeing when they're so mesmerized by something before it apparently takes them? Why are there some people who are mesmerized and then just run toward whatever it is, never to be seen again? And I hypothesize that maybe what we're dealing with here is something that has the ability to change its form. And again, I find that interesting because all through the different myths and mythical creatures and cryptids, many of them are shapeshifters. The djinn were shapeshifters, or are shapeshifters. Aliens, the greys, are said to be shapeshifters, or at least they appear to be. A person, you know, is awakened in the middle of the night. They don't know why. They look out of the window. They see an owl or a dog sitting on their lawn staring in the bedroom window at them, or a strange man standing there. It starts walking closer, and as it walks closer, it suddenly, you know, turns into this gray alien being who comes through the walls with others and takes them. The fairy folk, there's various woodland creatures back in the day who were said to be shapeshifters, and they could look like a pretty woman or a loved one or whatever the case may be to lure people, you know, into the woods and then take them. We even look at the Native American belief system, and there's many who talk about shapeshifters, shapeshifting spirits, skinwalkers, you know, these types of things. So when we see cases like the man who's standing on top of the pile of lumber staring into the woods and then suddenly jumps down and just runs, what is he seeing? Is there something out there that to him, maybe it's looking like a departed loved one? You know, maybe it looks like someone that he loved and lost through death. Is it something that's looking like an angel, as the Bible says, you know, that Satan or the deceiver can masquerade as an angel of light? You know, so do these things sometimes take on a different appearance to lure people into the woods? Are they looking like the departed loved one beckoning to someone, calling someone? Which is very interesting because a lot of the woodland creatures of old, you know, the fairy folk, the little people, they were said to appear as a very beautiful woman, or maybe, you know, take the shape of a loved one, you know, different shapes they would take, and they would beckon to people, or they would sing a song, or they would be crying, you know, or singing, you know, some strange melody that just mesmerized the person and made them, you know, walk right into the arms of whatever was going to take them. So is this why some people are mesmerized and then they run into the woods? You know, with something beckoning to them that for some reason they just can't resist? Or like I said, it's looking like a loved one or an angel or something or someone they recognize. Is this why, like the girl I mentioned on the trail, you know, taking a short hike, she's just so mesmerized, just keeps stopping and looking like she's in a trance in the woods, and then suddenly she's gone. You know, what are these beings that are mesmerizing people or even causing them to dash, you know, toward them? No fear, you know, just abandon. You know, and then, of course, there are the cases that are more mysterious or seem to be more violent, where there's clothes, you know, ripped clothes or, you know, found, you know, high atop a mountain, you know, miles away, you know, like something tore the clothes off of somebody, they'll find their jewelry or, you know, whatever the case may be. So is there something to the missing 411 cases and what we call shapeshifters? Is it the same being, just under different names? Other people call it fairy folk, little people, djinn, alien, whatever the case may be. Is it the same being just taking on a different form based on the beliefs of the day? Or are there various beings, various creatures that for whatever reason kidnap and take human beings, even children? You know, a friend of mine a few days ago sent me a link to something on, I think it was on TikTok or Instagram. It was one of them. It was a video, an older video, about a gentleman doing an interview about the reptilians that lived underground, you know, and how they're hostile to human beings. And essentially they feed on human beings. And you hear a lot of, you know, talk over the years, of, you know, the reptilians, how they're hostile. They feed on humans. They take human beings. Some people say that the government knows they're there. And they, like the man in the old interview that I saw that a friend shared with me, said the government knows they're there. And they allow them to take certain amounts of people. So essentially they feed these creatures who are underground in the earth to keep them, you know, satisfied so that they don't come up. So there's kind of a deal made. We'll give you so many people, allow you to take so many people, and we'll cover for you as long as you don't come up here and wreak havoc. And again, these reptilians, you always hear that they're shapeshifters. They can change the way they look. Some people say that the reptilians are aliens. Some people say that they're demonic in nature because they're very serpent-like, and they hearken back to, you know, the serpent in the Bible who allegedly tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So they say these beings are not from the stars. They're not aliens, as we would call them. They're actually demonic some kind of human-demon hybrids that are living underneath the earth. And at one point, they will come up out of the earth. And some people talk about in the Christian tradition, you know, when the bottomless pit is unlocked and opened and the demons come out in the book of Revelation, that, you know, it could be these underground reptilian creatures. It is also interesting to note that there have been, through different cultures, different people, different nations, who all have this belief of the beings who live underground. And some would say they're friendly, but most people say they're not friendly. They are hostile. They do take people. They're not very fond of human beings. And some say that, yes, we are their food supply. So is there truth to this? And if so, what exactly are these beings, and are they responsible for the missing 411 cases? I would go so far as to say, as one who studied religion, prophecy, metaphysics, mysticism for a number of years, what makes sense to me is that I think the universe is filled with life forms that we're completely unaware of. Are they interplanetary? Maybe, possibly. Are they interdimensional? Very likely. I feel that the entire universe and dimensions are much like us as human beings. Beings are created. Beings are given free will. Beings can choose whether to be evil or good. I'm currently reading a book entitled The Physics of Angels by Matthew Fox and the scientist, I think his name is Rupert Sheldrake, if I'm not mistaken. He's a British fellow, and they talk about the findings of modern day physics with what some of the early fathers of the church or doctors of the church wrote about angels, and how similar like the behavior of like photons are to, you know, that of angels, you know. And it's a very, very interesting book that puts kind of the philosophical but also scientific spin on angels and their probability of existence, what they would be like, what they would be capable of. And they talk about in the book that it appears that we live in an evolving universe. it's continually expanding. There are continually new planets and stars and galaxies being formed. More than likely different species, you know, on different planets. And as the universe expands, new angels are created to oversee those planets, galaxies, solar systems, beings who might be on those planets that are capable of inhabiting life. And they talk about that when an angel comes into being, that immediately, once an angel is created, it immediately has the choice within itself to follow light or darkness. And from there, they go on to talk about the idea of Satan. You know, Lucifer, who rebelled and became, you know, the fallen one, and all the angels who may have followed in his footsteps, and how it was the sin of pride that caused Lucifer to fall. And Matthew Fox said something interesting. He said, pride is a word that's very blind to us, because then you get people who think, you know, having pride in one's work or pride in oneself, taking pride in who they are, oh, well, that's sinful. But that's not what the biblical narrative is saying. Matthew Fox says it would be a better interpretation to say arrogance. Arrogance being a being who chooses to try to be godlike without the guidance of God. Now, I'm going somewhere with this in the missing 411 cases, so bear with me. Then he says that St. Thomas Aquinas said that it's not wrong or sinful to want to be godlike, but it becomes wrong and sinful when we do it through arrogance, thinking we can achieve it ourselves, and without the love, the compassion, the grace, and the guidance of God or divine spirit. This is where it becomes a sin, because then we become a god in our own image, which is usually twisted, prejudiced. All the things make God out to be. Man will never rise higher than his vision of God. I forgot who said that, but it is true. So, metaphysically, I believe the universe is good. As metaphysicians will say, we look at the book of Genesis, everything God created was good and very good. And God never stopped being good. But all of the evil we see in the world, in the universe, is from human beings, from different beings, from different dimensions, or wherever they happen to be, is because of their own choice to follow their own arrogance. They see themselves somehow as superior to others. They want to take, they want to conquer, they want to prey upon, they want to hurt, they want to harm. Whether these beings look at themselves as being gods, which some do, or whether they just look at themselves as being some kind of superior human being. And we see what happens with that. All we have to do is take a look at Hitler and the Nazi regime, you know, with their Aryan race. Man trying to do anything like that on his own will always fail, because his own arrogance and prejudices and shortcomings will always be filtered through his God complex or his superiority complex. And I would venture to say it's that way with any, all, and other beings in the universe who make the choice to turn away from the light and follow the dimness and the darkness of their own arrogance. And this is why people in metaphysics, the metaphysicians, say all evil is an illusion. In fact, in the mind and eyes of God, it doesn't even exist because God didn't create it. God is good, and all that he created is good and perfect. And evil and darkness is just man or another being's choice to live in error. Error perpetuated by arrogance and all those other wonderful traits like prejudice and greed that stem from that. But they have no real power or substance in themselves because they don't originate from divine source or God. And I think that that's made a little bit clearer when we look at the word Satan in the Bible. Really means the deceiver. What are we being deceived of? Deceived that the illusion of evil and its power is real, when in fact it's not. We are deceived into believing that evil is more powerful than good. We fear it. We're afraid of it. Afraid it's going to harm us. Take our loved ones, take our lives, take our property, take everything that makes us happy, take away our comfort, our peace, our safety. But the Christian metaphysician would say that if we turn that and rise in consciousness and realize that God is always good and God is ever our source of supply, evil will fall away because it's an illusion. It's an illusion in the mind of man or any other being thinking they have power, but faced with the light of God and that is all good. It is powerless. It is hopeless. Its weakness is clearly shown in the light of God. So I say all that to say this. As I said in the beginning, I believe the universe is filled with life. And whether that be interplanetary, whether that be interdimensional beings, whether that be spiritual beings, things that live in the center of the earth somewhere, below ground, wherever they are, we all have the choice for good or evil. Arrogance or love and compassion. We either give or we take. We either show forth light or we walk in darkness. And so I feel that whatever these things are, they are of the deceiver. They are of the one who tries to deceive us that evil is a real thing. Evil has power. And if we believe that evil has power, if we give it power, metaphysically, we are giving it permission to harm us, to rule us. So are these things deceiving people, taking people, posing as whatever it is they're posing as to cause people to go running into the woods and then snatch them away? Are they able to do this? Now, again, this is just my metaphysical hypothesis. Are these things taking people? Because we're allowing it to happen. And we're allowing it to happen because we live in a world that is so secularized. We'll pick up our cell phones a million times a day, but we'll never pick up a book of religion, philosophy, metaphysics, the Bible. All that's laughable now. God is, you know, the Santa Claus in the sky and all this nonsense. We're trained to be afraid. We're afraid of the government. We're afraid of other countries. We're afraid of Democrats and Republicans. We're afraid of, you know, all kinds of different things. People that say they're religious and they're, you know, quote unquote, born again. But they live full of fear of demons. Devils are everywhere. Turn on the radio and hear some foolish, Taylor Swift song playing and, oh my God, the devil's going to jump on me because, you know, I'm listening to a Beyonce song or whatever the case may be. Always afraid. So always being in that fear that something or someone's going to harm us. Is this what's giving these things the power and the permission to take people, to scare people? And is it because, the Christian metaphysicians would say, we're not living in our true God-given spiritual authority? That these things are getting away with what they're getting away with. Because we're lambs to the slaughter. We're not even aware that we have any kind of spiritual authority to make these things cease and desist. And I also find it incredibly interesting that speaking of beings that take people, there are accounts all over the place now. Now, I'm interested in ufology. I'm interested in all of these, you know, paranormal, strange things. And I'm always doing research. And I'm always, you know, looking at different accounts. I find it fascinating. And you got all these people out there, you know, the ufologists, you know, writing books and doing documentaries that are all over, you know, TV now. You can stream them on all these different channels. But what you don't hear about in ufology is the many accounts where people heard this idea that speaking to these things in the name of Christ makes the abduction experience automatically stop. And you know what else is interesting? When you hear about the Hat Man and shadow people, there's also a growing number of cases where people use the name of Jesus Christ and these shadow people that terrorize people in the night, in their beds, suddenly cease and desist, and it happens no more. But why aren't people being told this? Why aren't people being told about these very real cases where people are speaking to these things, having, you know, a spiritual authority in the name of Christ? And it stops and it never returns. It's like having a cure, but you never share it with anybody. So why doesn't the UFO community share this information with people? And this is really strange. This is really strange to me. People who go out and hunt for spaceships, lights in the sky, beings from other planets or wherever they're from, They're dealing in a metaphysical, paranormal subject. But they won't share these cases where people use the name of Christ and it stops and stops permanently because they say, well, this is already a strange enough subject. We don't want to get religion involved because people might think we're nuts. Or we don't want to get religion involved because that's just too much. You know, this is the mindset. We don't want to mix our ufology with religion. Well, if the growing evidence is showing that there's something out there that actually stops innocent people from being taken by what we call aliens or grays, if there's something that's stopping the very horrifying shadow people experiences in people's bedrooms, wouldn't you want to share that no matter what it is? Wouldn't you think that after a while that, hey, maybe there's something to this and maybe we better look more deeply into it? Rather than just throwing it out because it's an uncomfortable subject for us. But that's where we are in this world. And when I talk about that lack of spiritual authority, this is why. It's incredible to me the things people come up with to avoid these subjects. And apparently, when you're using the name of Christ, the darkness is showing itself just how powerless it is, how much of an illusion it is, because suddenly it doesn't come near you anymore. Now we could get into, you know, the name of Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, the name of the actual, you know, person in being or Christ in us metaphysically, mystically. But that's something that we'll perhaps save for another day. But I wanted to read to you something really interesting. And thinking about this subject, researching certain things, I just ran across this yesterday doing my own Bible reading and reflection. And it just struck me like, man, it was one of those God moments where like God put this right directly in my path as I was about to talk about this subject. And it just blew my mind. And this is from 2 Corinthians, starting in the 9th verse. I'm sorry, 2nd chapter of Philippians, starting in the 9th verse. And it says, therefore God elevated him, Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Think about those three realms. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven. And when the Bible talks about the heavens, it's talking about the heavens around the earth, you know, the cosmos, the, you know, outer space heavens, but also the heavens, meaning those spiritual dimensions where spiritual beings dwell. So all things in the heavens, all things in the cosmos, basically we could say, and that would be correct, should bow at the name of Jesus. Things in heaven and on earth, whether it's a person, whether it's a woodland being, a Sasquatch, a fairy folk, whatever might be out there in the woods taking people. And I found this one really interesting. And things under the earth. I remember we talked about the supposed reptilians or other beings that many cultures believed lived under the earth. And they do come up and they do take people. And some of them say they eat people. Or whatever it is, they mate with people, you know, do very unsavory things when they take them to their underground caverns, whatever that might be. So there you have all of the areas covered. You have things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth that bow to the name of Jesus Christ. I always say this. We are running around defenseless. We don't know how to safeguard ourselves against these beings, entities, demons, because religion is a joke. Or we can go to church and they tell us how to be afraid of the devil, be afraid of demons, be afraid of things unexplained. Oh, don't think about that. Don't dabble in that. It's going to get you. Don't do that. But we're not really told how to defend ourselves against these things if we should encounter them. You know, we're completely clueless on what our weapons are, what our spiritual weapons are to defend ourselves against these things and our families. I believe when people say, well, what about the children that are taken? Well, I think the Bible paints the picture that, you know, the adults, you know, are the ones through their faith, their light, the light of God, the light of Christ shining through them. They're the ones who keep the family unit protected, even if there's just one. But if the family's unprotected, religion is a joke. We're just taught by religion that we should be afraid of everything, even a Beyonce song for crying out loud. And I'm afraid of Beyonce because I don't even like that music. I think music's really going to hell in a handbasket. That's a subject for another day or never. But anyway, you know, this is what we're taught in religion. Be afraid. Be afraid of that political party. Be afraid of that person. Be afraid of that song. Be afraid of that movie. The devil's going to get you. He's going to do. We have more faith in the darkness and the illusion. Our families, we and our families are completely unprotected. And this is why the illusion of evil and darkness is running rampant in our world unchecked. And it's having a free-for-all. And it's coming at us from every angle, the seen and the unseen. Have you noticed that these days? Because we don't know how to protect ourselves. The Bible even gives us the picture, you know, this is how we test the spirits. If a spirit denies that Jesus came in the flesh, that spirit is not of God. It's how we test spirits. And this is why we have so many people in like the New Age movements and these other movements that get themselves in trouble. It starts out wonderful, and then before you know it, their house is full of poltergeist activity. They're being harassed by shadow people. There's all kind of negative spiritual activity going on around them because they've opened themselves up. They never tested the spirits. They don't believe in, you know, Jesus, or he was just one of the ascended masters and all this type of thing. Their spiritual authority is non-existent. And the way they test the spirit is just asking, are you of love and the light? Now, if you think about a deceiver, what's a deceiver going to say? Oh, no, I'm from darkness and badness. Of course, they're going to say yes. Of course, I'm from the light. Of course, I'm a being of love. But ask a deceiver that question. Do you believe Jesus came in the flesh? There's no way they can fake that. Hard no every time. And I've seen this prove out to be true. So I think, and this is, you know, my philosophy based on various things in my own spiritual journey that I believe is happening, why it keeps happening, why it's unchecked, why there's so much in our world that's unchecked, you know, when it comes to the strange and the paranormal and, you know, just, you know, things like the missing 411, even evil people running, you know, rampant. Look how few people believe in God these days. And I liked it around, you know, the millennium, around the year 2000, when people really started poo-pooing religion. And a lot of people walked away and the atheists came out, you know, laughing and sneering and, oh, yeah, the tooth fairy in the sky. Ha, 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 ha. And the mantra was, we don't need God to be moral. We don't need God to be good. We don't need God to keep, you know, some evil in check. Well, I beg to differ. I say, look around at the seen and the unseen. And it's telling a mighty big different story since those days. And most of us are marching into the enemy territory. No armor, no shield, no spear, no weapons, nothing. We're lucky if we're wearing spiritual underwear. And then we wonder why there's these creepy crawlers, you know, coming out of the sky, coming out of the woods, or coming wherever they come from. And they take people and abduct people, and some are killed and some are never seen again. It's open season. Given the authority and the permission to rule and harm us, that illusion will be very real. Shine the light on it, and it will retreat and never return. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's my very big discourse and blab session for this week. I hope you got something out of this, as always, and it made you think. Let me know your thoughts. Chime in below. Leave a comment. Send me an email at nocturnalmagic@gmail.com. Let me know your thoughts on all of this. I'm always interested to know. And if there's a subject you want me to speak about on the show, I'm always interested in hearing your thoughts, your concerns, subjects you would like to hear talked about here on the spirit side. And again, my YouTube channel link will be below also, and you can head over there and hear some of my ITC paranormal research spirit sessions, which are very interesting. And that's all for this week. I appreciate you all listening. Until next time, stay in love, stay in light, and remember, we're all on a journey towards the light. Everything we do matters, especially when it's done in love. So let's not use people, hurt people. Let's not be arrogant. Let's not be foolish. You know, I'm seeing a lot of people in the work that I do, you know, people say, I love you 1 minute, then they ghost somebody the next. We got to stop doing this stuff, folks. We got to treat one another right. We got to get back to being decent human beings. And we got to start having the love of God in our hearts. Because everything we do matters. And we think we're so smart and, you know, I got away with it. And boy, you know, we got to treat other people better. We got to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because when we leave this world, everything we do is going to have mattered. So make sure we're doing the best we can to spread love and light and not hurt and arrogance and violence and bullying and, you know, all the nonsense people do today, because that's just feeding the illusion of darkness and evil, giving it more power. You got to rise above it. So thank you again for listening. I'll talk to you next week here on the Spirit Side. God bless.